Welcome, everyone, to the RF Sports Radio Show. I'm your host, Rodney Fisher, joined by my co-host, Forrest Fisher. It's another installment of our podcast. Again, it comes to you guys live every Tuesday and Thursday night, 10:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. We've got the Boilerbuckets on our show. If you want to follow us online, eventually, go to our website, rfsportsradio.com, or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/rfsportsradio. Let me bring up my co-host, Royce. Royce, how you doing tonight, sir?
What's going on right now? How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm pretty good tonight.
Listen, the other day I was in the car listening to old Phil Collins tune or something in the air tonight. You remember that song?
Yeah.
And when I was watching the game in San Antonio and Oklahoma City, that song came to mind, and sure enough, there was something in the air that night, and something in the air tonight between Boston and Miami.
Talk about something in the air tonight.
And I can feel it coming.
This is update to people if you don't know. The Celtics have just went up 3-2 in the series after getting a road win over the Miami Heat in Miami tonight. A game where the Celtics just didn't have a good shooting night, wasn't dominant the whole game, but did just enough in the fourth quarter to win the game 94-90. And we got a lot to talk about when it comes to that series. We got to talk about the Spurs and the Thunder. Now the Thunder up 3-2 as well. And our question for tonight for everyone listening, who is going to win the NBA title first? Is it going to be LeBron or Kevin Durant? So you guys are listening to us live. Join our debate, 323-927-2906. Of course, send us an email, rfsportsradio@gmail.com. Or hit us on Twitter.com/rfsportsradio. Let's start with the first and the Thunder who played last night. And I want to get your reaction to this. You saw, we thought the Spurs,
and you're absolutely right, Rodney. I thought the Spurs were invincible. I think everybody did. You know, it was 20 games in a row they won,
yeah,
and lose three games in a row to San Antonio. The second game, I think Oklahoma started figuring some things out. Because, you know, that game was close. Well, they made some adjustments going into the third and fourth game, man, that I thought that was great, man. And I'm not seeing any production out of San Antonio other than Ginobili and Tony Parker. You know, Tim Duncan's not the same person. But no bench help whatsoever. And I think that's their downfall where we see Oklahoma City can go 10 deep. I think their second five can be about a starting five in the NBA.
I think you're still on the head. It has been the biggest play for Oklahoma City Thunder that's helped them a lot. Of course, they've got the security of James Harden. But I think also other world players in Oklahoma City have stepped up and done things that they haven't done the entire season. You look at Serge Ibaka, the way he shot the ball in game four. 11-for-11 in game four. I mean, that's almost borderline his score. I think the record is 13-13. He went up 11-for-11. Then you look at last night, he comes in last night and he shoots the ball very well also. Last night he put in 9 points. He had 5 rebounds. But then he had Christian Perkins with his 4 points at the right time. So he ain't playing great defense. Russell Westbrook with 23 points. And James Harden with 20. And James Harden, I think, hit the shot against the rim. He had 3 points shot to put the ball in the game.
And you're absolutely right. That was a big time shot. I mean, that just really took the wherever I was left in San Antonio. I think that took it out. And then, let's go back and look at some of the contributions that they did get from the bench. You got 9 points from Ibaka. You got 4 from Perkins. Cephalosha throws in 5. You get 6 from Colston. You know, he's a guy that just. I'm sorry. Yeah, from Colson. Collison. You got 20 from James Harden. You got 6 from Derek Fisher. You got 8 from Cook. I mean, just look at that contribution, man. You know, you got 3 guys almost in double figures. You know, and these are role players. when you get that kind of contribution from the bench, and we saw the Mavericks do this last year, they kind of set the blueprint for how to win a championship game. You have to have contributions from guys on the bench. I'm not seeing that from San Antonio's side.
You know, I'm very impressed with Oklahoma City. You know, the Eric Young team, I thought the Spurs and the way they were playing. Their coach, Greg Popovich, are really doing a number of these guys, but they're young and they're growing up. You know, game four for Kevin Durant was a huge game for him and his development as a superstar in the 16 straight points to really put them ahead to get that win. Game four, and then game five, he had 27 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists. Basically doing everything that needs to happen on the floor. And Andrew still on top of that, he's playing great defense. And as long as they keep remembering, they have the best player on the court on the best side. If you give them the ball, good things are going to happen. I think the more they figure that out throughout the series, the better they'll come to the center have come. Now, the scary thing about it is, you talk about that business, that business is deeper than that.
And you're right.
Back to game three, you saw them pull out everybody in that blowout from Ivy, Hayward, Harvard, Najee Muhammad, all those guys with their contributions to that game three. So they can play deeper into the bench they need to. For young team, like I said, no doubt, no question, they're going to be good for a very, very long time. But are you surprised that they this good this early? They really had Spurs, you know, they won 20 straight games, lost 3 straight.
You know, we knew Oklahoma was a great team, especially offensively. But I think what's making them so great in this series is the defense. They're keeping Tony Parker out of the lane. And as I watched the game develop last night, they kept pushing San Antonio further and further away from the goal. The defense, they're the great offense. You know, they're getting rebounds, they're rebounding them. And when they have James Harden, Westbrook, Kevin Durant on the floor, any one of those guys can create shots. They're not just selling for jump shots. These guys are taking it to the basket. They're beating San Antonio in all aspects of the game. San Antonio did make a run, but, you know, you got the number one best shooter in the league, you know, Kevin Durant.
Scoring champion, right.
In the league. And, man, this guy has stepped up to a whole nother level. I put him up there with Kobe Bryant. I'm sorry. He's made that transition. He's a big time player.
So for the Spurs side of things, they tried to stop the bleeding by starting Ginobili in the starting lineup last night. Ginobili answered the call, 34 points from him. Tim Duncan only had 18. His play has been in the question a little bit as of late. What do you think is how do you start off so high in game 1 and 2? And then we saw him in games 3, 4, 5, and not being as effective as Tim Duncan.
Well, this is not the same Tim Duncan that we grew up with. He's a lot older. He's a lot mellow. And, you know, I see his footwork is not the same. And, you know, I don't see, you know, even his signature, you know, shot is not falling. You know, guys are blocking it, you know, because they used to do it. I'm not seeing the same Tim Duncan. But they're getting no help from the bench, man. These guys, you know, aren't doing much. Splitter had nothing last night. You know, he had no contribution.
Splitter had 5 points. Danny Green.
But he played 10 minutes. Danny Green, what?
At 0.
0 points. Leonard only had 4. You know, and that's not going to get the job done. You have to get contribution from the bench. And I'm not saying that. Tony Parker is playing an excellent game. He's doing his part. Ginobili had a great game the other night. But other than that, I don't see any contributions from anybody else.
You know, the funniest thing about it is if you look at the box score for the Spurs last night, all the guys have been in the league long enough to really know how important this is and how hard it is to make it to the Western Conference final. All had good games. Tim Duncan had 18. Ginobili had 34. Parker had 20. But the young guys, the new Spurs,
right?
They really don't know how hard it is to get to this point, or think they can automatically get here easily. Like Kawhi Leonard, 4 points. DeJuan Blair, 2 points.
Right.
Gary Neal,
2 points. 2 points. Yeah.
Danny Green, 0 points. Yeah, I was 5 points. Even if everyone, Steven Jackson, knew what time it was, he had 13.
Yeah. And, you know, this was the best three-point shooting team in the league. They were 9 of 24 last night, Rod. 9 of 24. That's not typical San Antonio. And I don't think they have a chance. I'm going to give it to Oklahoma City. I think it'd be the next game is going to be great, but it's going to be hard to win in Oklahoma City. We know that for sure. But I never thought that the San Antonio Spurs would be swept three games in a row. This Oklahoma team has grown up since last year. You know, when I saw them play the Mavericks, they just demolished the Mavericks, you know, and they came through and they beat the Lakers. And they earned the right to be in the championship. These guys beat some great teams to get there.
So do you feel like this series is going to be over tomorrow night?
I think it's over. If you ask me, if I had to put some money on it, I'd say it's done deal. I think they're going to be sitting back waiting to see who wins between Miami and Boston.
Let's jump into the other series real quick. We have a final on that one also. Boston Celtics win 94-90 over the Miami Heat. Finally win a game on the road. And a lot of similarities between the Boston Celtics and what they have done compared to what the Oklahoma City Thunder have done. They won three straight games now, winning a game on the road. Are you surprised that Boston's up 3-2, that they won this game 5?
Actually, right now I'm shocked. And I, like other people, from the beginning of the season, this was for Miami to win or lose. They did make it to the finals. Everybody kind of expected that. But I wondered what happened. I mean, same thing we've seen with San Antonio. These bench players, Battier, Jones, we're not getting any contribution from the bench. Dwayne Wade hadn't played. I don't know what's wrong with him. You know, he has a good second half and first half. He's solid. I've never seen Dwayne Wade play this bad. I've seen him take over the series. I'm not seeing that from Dwayne Wade. LeBron is doing his part. But, you know, you got guys like Haslam that's been there. They're not contributing a lot.
And, do you feel like LeBron is doing enough and LeBron is not doing enough?
Well, I've seen him doing more. He's going to take this. Dwayne Wade's not doing them up enough. I've seen LeBron James do better. We've seen him score 25 points in the fourth quarter to come back and win the series. I'm talking about 25 points in a row, you know, to come back and win. I'm not seeing that out of him. And you know what? These guys are passing up shots to pass. I'm not seeing guys, you know, shooting the ball. Haslam's been in this kind of situation before. Thomas has been there before. But instead of these guys taking the shot, they look for LeBron or Dwayne to bail them out. And you can't do that. You have to be aggressive enough. If you have an open shot, whether it's a layup, going to the basket, I'm not seeing any of that. If you're open for the shot, you have to take the shot.
You know, the thing about LeBron tonight, if people are going to look at the stats and say, well, LeBron is ready to play, 30 points, 13 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, I get that. But the guy was 11 for 25 shooting the ball.
Wow.
Played over 45 minutes of the game. Look at Dwayne Wade. He had 27 points, 6 rebounds, but he was 10 for 22 tonight. So combined, your two big stars, LeBron James and Dwayne Wade, were 21 for 47.
And
21 for 47.
And I think that's because they're carrying the whole team on their back. And, you know, you shut down those two guys, you pretty much can't win the series because
Dwayne, right.
And nobody else is doing that. Nobody's stepping up. And I don't know if something's wrong with Dwayne Wade, but we're not seeing the Dwayne Wade we saw a couple of years ago that just demolished the Dallas Mavericks, you know. And I'm so used to him taking over a game, and he's not doing that. And tonight, Chris Bosh had a chance to play. What do you have, 9 points tonight?
Nine points tonight.
I was glad to see him up. But they missed Chris Bosh. You know, we always talked about this earlier in the season, him being an important part of this.
Right.
He had a monster. And I think that just really changed the dynamics of this team when he went down.
You know, I've always said that he was a discount for Chris Bosh brings to that team. Even after the final last minute loss.
Right.
to Dallas. I said, you know what? They got to run the offense to Chris Bosh. You got to go down low and right back down.
Right.
You cannot have LeBron James and Dwayne Wade bring the ball down, run the offense, make the right play, and shoot the ball out of time. The amount of wear and tear that puts on the first by the fourth of the season, let alone the sub-series against Boston, that led to the three-man losses. You can't rely on these guys doing everything.
Right.
LeBron James is better either being a full-time passer or one-on-one guy that you set up and run a play, which is one way to work.
And another thing I noticed late into the game, these guys are not running any kind of set plays. Last night they had a chance to win. They called timeout. Matter of fact, in the last couple of games they had a chance to win. But when they come out and take the last shot, it's either a desperation three, nobody's driving to the basket. And it looks like to me that they don't have any set plays coming out of the timeout to give themselves a chance to win. And I fought the coach for that.
Well, I absolutely saw. You know how I feel about the coach. I mean, he shouldn't be coaching that team anyway.
Right.
I don't know why he even started to see coaching that team while Pat Riley was shut down there and coach him. He did it in 2006 when he let go of Dan Van Gundy to come here to coach them to a title. And if I look at the Miami Heat, well, I look at the Boston Celtics, first of all, and with them, I'm shocked that they're up 3-2. I know they're an older team, a veteran team, but the way they played so hard the last four games. If you go back to game two, the game they should have won.
Right.
Rondo played 15 minutes,
right.
44 points.
Right.
The game they should have won. They played so hard, and they should have something to definitely say. Even now, Rondo played 44 minutes tonight. Only had 7 points. They had 6 rebounds and 13 assists.
Well, see, that's the thing about
it. Yes.
That's true. And that's the thing about it. Rondo doesn't have to play perfect for Boston to win.
No.
You know, he can have an average or below average game they win. But when he's on, I mean, that gives them even more weapons to look out for. Rondo has played a great series. He, you know, like I say, they didn't need him tonight to win. He doesn't have to take over every game.
He has 13 assists.
He's going to have big assists. And that's the thing about it. He's getting other guys involved. I'm not seeing that on the Miami set. We had Bedio with 5 points, Haslam 3, Mike Miller, which we know he's a good 3 points. He only had 3 points. And we got 4 from James Jones. You know, it's not going to get it done, guys. I mean, it really is not. And a lot of that I do put on coaches. I don't see them. They're out of sync to me. Boston has taken them out of their comfort zone, and I think by them missing Chris Bosh does take them out of comfort zone. But I don't think they know how to play without Chris Bosh.
You know, I think the guy for the Cubs that really turned the table for them tonight was Mikal Bridges.
Right.
At 13 points tonight, had 3 rebounds, but it does tell a story about the kind of defense he played in their fourth quarter.
And I was wondering when he was going to wake up, Rodney, this series.
The best defense play, and I hate to say it, was that block he took on Mario Dumb.
Right.
Gave Ray Allen the extra bucket.
Right.
He really put them up, you know, by team. So, you know, Dwayne Wade comes down to hit the 3-point, but the little stuff that he did, the dirty work he did,
right.
You know, it was a big difference. He guarded LeBron tonight. He guarded Dwayne Wade. I thought he did an extra job and had to really just hang in there and do what he had to do. And the big 3-pointer that he hit,
right.
Left on wide
open.
And
there's no secret that Boston can play this defense. Doc Rivers is the defensive specialist. He's always taught that. These guys know how to do it. They've been playing this system for a while. You think that's the advantage of them because these guys have played together for so long and they know it's almost automatic to them where to go defensively. And with Rondo being the offensive coordinator, I mean, he gets everybody involved. The guy's a fifth leader, you know, for the NBA this year, you know, and he's a great facilitator, and he gets everybody involved.
I think the Celtics have really figured out how to beat the Heat. And to beat the Heat, all you have to do is make somebody else
beat
the star.
Right, right.
You know, LeBron's going to have 30. Dwayne's going to have 27. But as long as they have a bad shooting night, they're going to shoot
right,
the ball.
Right, right,
right. So all you got to do is kind of let them shoot the ball, shoot the ball, give them too many easy baskets, and make somebody get some stuff.
Man, you're absolutely right, Rodney. You hit the nail right on the head. They almost let LeBron do his thing. He's going to do his thing. And I've seen frustration on his face that I've never seen before, not even with Cleveland.
Right.
You know? So I don't know if they got into his head. Does he feel like he has to do it all? But I thought this game he would just take over because it's really on his back.
Yes, it is.
It really is. I wonder what kind of tag people are going to put on him after that. You know, they got him last year because he didn't take the shot. And they passed it off this year. He takes the shot. You know, he's not going to make all of them. But the shots that he has taken are ill-advised shots. I mean, he's just, you know, decking up threes. He's not driving to the basket. You know, the clock management has been poor. You know, it's 14 seconds on the clock. Dribble down to the last 3 or 4 seconds and take a shot. Why not, you know, give your sense, shoot early. If you miss, you get the rebound. You know, and I don't understand that. But I had to critic Boston defense, and the same thing with Oklahoma City. I think the defense from both of these teams has been a difference in the whole series.
I agree. So with that said, does Boston in this series in Boston?
You know, Rodney, I will have to agree and say yes. But the thing about me, Boston was not even in my conversation as far as going to the NBA championship this year. You know, I didn't even think Boston would even be there. And I just woke up one day and Boston is here, you know. And I mean, chance. I think this is their last run for, you know, Kevin Garnett and the rest of the guys. But what a way to go out, man. I mean, you're going to go out and win a championship. You know, I thought it was San Antonio for a while because last time we had a lockout, you know, they did win. They had best record at the end of the series. They won defeated going into the playoffs. And I'm just shocked Boston there. But the way they're playing, I got to get a nod to Boston. Unless Miami comes out and figures out a way to beat these guys, and I don't see it happening. I don't see any adjustments being made. I saw the same game I've been seeing the last two games, and they're going to do something different. Maybe Chris Bosh will make a difference in this next game.
Yeah.
You know, he hadn't played 9 games. You know, it's kind of hard on you to get your rhythm. But they have to make some kind of adjustment.
I think it's over, man. I think it's over. I think Boston, I think we're coming up here on Thursday night because we're talking about what are the Heat going to do next? Who's going to get the blame for what is not happening again?
And you know,
it may be too early to have that debate, so we'll stay there for Thursday, but you know I cannot wait.
Yeah.
You know I cannot wait. I cannot wait to see the Heat go down. And those of y'all that have been fans of the show, live look by LeBron, don't miss Thursday. Like I say.
We know And that's the thing. What are people going to say about LeBron James after this series? I mean, the criticism are going to fly up from everywhere. They really are. But I'm going to defend him this time. I'm going to say it's not his fault.
Well, I
really am. I'm going to say it is not his fault. Because the guy has averaged at least 26 points during the series. The whole game, but no help, man. I mean, he had better help in Cleveland. I thought so because these guys played their roles. You know, we had Mo Williams coming in. These guys knew their role and they played their role. And all he needed was a little help. I'm not even saying that. And Dwayne Wade, I'm going to blame him so far in the series because a couple of games was 2 games ago. He only had 2 points. The whole first half. He's a superstar, Rodney. You know, you and I witnessed what he did to the Mavericks. He just took over the series, man. He was unstoppable.
Right.
But I'm not seeing that Dwayne Wade. Where is that Dwayne Wade?
Well, let's get to our hot topics tonight. And again, you guys can go to follow us on the web at rfsportsradio.com. Follow us on Twitter at rfsportsradio. You can download our podcast on iTunes. You can subscribe as well. If you'd like to send us an email for any reason whatsoever, make sure you email us at rfsportsradio@gmail.com. Question of the night tonight, Royce, is who will win an NBA title first, LeBron James or Kevin Durant?
If you had asked me this 2 days ago, I would say LeBron James. Now I have to change my vote. Rodney, you always do this to me. It's just the way the cookie crumbles, I guess. That's true. But I'm going to have to say Kevin Durant, because the way this Oklahoma City team is playing, and we've seen them do this year, you know, that when they're good, they're great. When they're bad, they're terrible. And even Westbrook, as dysfunctional as he is, and up and down as he is, he's even playing great. He does take ill-advised shots, but they have so many pieces to this puzzle. Guys can make up the difference. You know, whether you take a bad shot, you got Ibaka rebounding, you got Perkins is playing, you know, great. And this team is clicking on all cylinders. They really are. I mean, that's what it takes. We said whoever's playing the best ball at the right time, usually win the series. And these guys.
This is my argument. I think Kevin Durant will win first.
Well, yeah.
I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
Even if LeBron comes out in game six, you know, in Boston, and has an epic game, a Rondo type game. Yeah, I said Rondo type game.
Well, how about a Kobe type game?
Either way.
Okay.
Either way, has a big game, they win, and even if they make it to the finals. I still feel like Kevin Durant's going to win one before LeBron. The reason why is because Durant is on a better team.
Absolutely.
To win an NBA title, you have to have a great team, along with great players. And he's got a much better team. Now that you know, I think Kevin Durant's going to win one before LeBron, I think he's going to win more titles.
Not two.
Not three. Because the way the team is made up, the youth on that team, what they're young, the players they have, and the players they keep for a long time, they're going to be good for a while. If you look at the Western Conference, we said at the beginning of the season, it's the old conference.
Yes, it is. Right.
Spurs. You got the Lakers.
You're right.
It's prime and ready for Oklahoma City to get on a dynasty-type run starting this season. And that's why I think Kevin Durant was doing one before LeBron.
And you're right, Ryan. I see the shift changing in the NBA. It's not so much the Kevin Durant and the Kobe Bryant, you know, the Jason Terry, none of these old guys. I think we're in a passing of the torch because if you look at Indiana and you look at the Clippers, all these young guys, these guys are playing great. Even Denver. With everybody they traded, the young group, these guys are coming up, you know, and got New Orleans with the first number one pick. You got Memphis, you know, and Sacramento has some good players. I think they're one player away from being in contention. But I think we're seeing a changing of the guard, and I think you're absolutely right. I think Kevin Durant, they can keep this core group together, will win not just one, not two, but multiple championships. Because these guys, if they can keep these guys together, I mean, I can't see anybody stopping them.
If it does happen the way the Rams win this year, LeBron doesn't lose in game six, who is the better player, LeBron or Kevin?
Well, I'm not ready to answer that question because I've seen LeBron James hadn't been on many great teams. This is probably the best team he's played on.
And
when he went there, everybody, you know, raised their eyebrows, say this is the greatest team ever. I'm not seeing that now. They came up short last year. They're gonna come up short this year. So not only they are losing not one, not two, but maybe three. Yeah,
maybe I'm
too
premature
about LeBron. Yeah, you could be. It's not over yet. We've seen strange things happen in the NBA this year. It's really not over until the Fat Lady thing.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. I right now, Let me ask you another question.
Well, it's for Oklahoma City to lose. That's the only way it happens. They have to lose.
Would you rather have, and I'm just having fun now, would you rather have LeBron James in the team or Rajon Rondo?
Right now, I'd rather have Rondo.
I love it.
I'm going to say this for two reasons. Now, LeBron James, he's a great player. I'm not going to take anything away from him. But the reason why I say Rondo is because I will get a shot. And with LeBron James, I might not even get the ball. But I know I'm going to get a assist. I'm going to get a pass. I'm going to get set up by Rondo. And I will take Rondo because, like, the guy is a great facilitator. I hadn't seen this guy. I mean, the guy, to me, reminds me of some of these older players, you know, Magic Johnson, you know, the great point guard, Dennis Johnson, you know, all these guys back then. But I think right now, at this point, I'd have Rondo on my team. Now, LeBron James might be my second pick, but my first pick, he's going to be my first pick. What about you?
I'd rather have Rondo, man. I mean, the guy's going to give me 13 assists. He's had more triple-doubles in the playoffs than any player playing currently right now. I mean,
Well, you know, and then you have to look at it like this. Look what Dirk and Kobe and some of these other guys had to endure this year. They did their part, you know, and it's a team sport. We all know it takes a team to win, right? No one individual wins a championship. It takes a team. And if you're not getting support from the team, you can't blame the player at all, because we know Kobe did everything he can in the playoffs. We know Dirk played his heart out in the playoffs. They just didn't have a team to do it.
And before we go, again, I want to remind you guys, make sure you go on the website, rsportsfields.com. Before we go, Tiger Woods,
finally.
It tied Jack Nicklaus with a 73 PGA Tour win. And did it in epic fashion in shot 16, of course, probably going to his shot gallery.
Right.
A lot of great shots. The kids come at the end of watching him do that. They brought back the memory.
Listen, for 2 years, I've been wanting to root for Tiger. As a matter of fact, I had. And every time I root for him, he goes backwards. You know, he disappoints. And you know what? I did kind of root for him, and then I backed off. I said, I'm not going to get too excited on Saturday, you know, because at one point he was at the top of the leaderboard, and he started going backwards, and I said, here we go again, Tiger. And you really want to root for this guy. You really, really want to root for this guy, but he always comes short. I was happy to see him win. I think it was great for him. This is really what Tiger needed. I saw him play great. I hadn't seen Tiger play like this in years, Rodney.
I agree.
You can see the confidence building on every shot. He had some great signature shots. And he just outplayed everybody that day. I thought he played great.
He carried this on all the way to the next major. Does he carry it all the way over to
and that's a good question.
To the U.S. Open.
And that's a good question. He played great. And we know his problem's been the last 2 years. Can he be consistent?
Right.
You know, can he continue to play at this level?
You know,
he looked like he has his swing back. Like all the changes he made have finally been corrected. You know, he's hitting fairways great. You know, I didn't hear it not one time. Come on, Tiger. One time did I hear that come out. You know, and I didn't see him throw his club down. He just hit the ball great. He was great. And, you know, I guess it's like being in basketball. You get in the zone, but can you carry that feeling on to the next game or next round?
Every time he's won a memorial, he went on a win.
Right. And, you know, he's won a memorial. That's Jack's tournament. He's won that several times. You know, he's great at that. But I was surprised, and I watched the game on Saturday. I was out of town. I started watching the game. I left. I did a few of them. And I really, when I came back, I saw Tiger Sunday morning, was in the head. And I saw the rest of the tournament Sunday. I was very much impressed with him, you know. So I'm not saying Tiger's back yet. But if he can be consistent with the way he played, this past weekend. I mean, the sky's the limit.
Well, big announcement for us and our show is that we will be covering the NBA Finals. We'll be there live. So stay tuned for next week. Next week, starting on the 12th, which is next Tuesday,
right,
we'll be live from
San Antonio, Oklahoma City, it'd be one of the two.
We'll be live from that arena doing the pregame show. That's gonna be wonderful, man.
If we go to Oklahoma City, what a great city. You know, they really support the team. I mean, you and I both been there.
Yeah.
It's totally different from going anywhere in the NBA. It's more like a hometown, small-time feel. And how great would that be for them to raise a banner in Oklahoma City, man? I mean, that would be huge. And you know, I do owe you an apology. From earlier in our broadcast this year, you brought up Drew Brees.
I did.
And he hasn't signed yet. I said I wasn't going to worry about it. I was going to let it go. Of course I'm getting married. They had their first mini training camp mandatory. He wasn't there. No, Drew Brees, you might as well write it off. And if I was Drew Brees, I'd be pissed. If I was a Saints fan, I'd be pissed. I mean, as much as
the fans have actually gotten together to try to put together a petition to raise our money,
right,
to cover the cost of bringing Breeze back, the money they don't.
And my sources tell me that they're $2 million apart.
$2 million.
$2 million apart.
$2 million.
I mean, this guy can lose $2 million and won't even feel the difference. I mean, come on now. As what he's done for this city, this franchise. I mean, what? I don't know what the hold up is now. I mean, to me, you did mention that earlier that he might not be there. I said, no way. You know, anybody, owner with any common sense would sign him. But I don't understand that at all. And I don't know what to say. But I do owe you an apology. I really thought you were talking out of your head on that one. And in other news, did you hear about T.O.?
He fired
his agent.
Right.
And he actually, I think, deep down in his mind, does believe he's going to NBA. But what team is going to pick him up? NFL. What team is going to pick him up?
Nice.
And I've seen him walk, and people seen him around town. They said the guy is in better shape.
Great shape.
And he's probably better than all the rookies coming in this year. But the guy is almost 40. I'm just saying the guy is almost 40 years old.
What do you think he gets a good job?
The only way he would get a job, somebody went down. And you just had to have a receiver. It's not like there's 10 out there waiting that you can go pick up. But you know what? If you didn't go back to the NFL, that Khalil Jaguars would be a perfect fit for him.
That's interesting. That's a
perfect fit for him.
Well, who's going to throw him the ball, Blaine Gabbert?
Well, listen. He's throwing the ball now, right?
That's true.
That's right. But I think if he does come back, it'd be a great pickup for Jacksonville Jaguars. You can pay him the minimum. You know, if he doesn't work out, you can let him go. You know.
Well, I don't think anybody's going to pick him up. Like I said, this is an extreme.
Right.
There's so many young receivers out there, though. There's a lot of young receivers out there that seem to want to take care of them before they do the 40-year-old guy.
Yeah, but, you know, you got to train these new guys, and T.O. does know the system. The guy's going to – he still can catch the ball. He's still a threat. And any defense would have to prepare for him.
No doubt. Well, we thank everyone for tuning in. Make sure you check us out next Tuesday. We'll be live from the NBA Finals. And make sure you check us out this Thursday, where we'll be just talking about a huge comeback for the Spurs and the Heat, or we'll be looking at a preview of the Thunder versus Celtics.
Who would you rather see?
Ah, man, I don't know.
You know what? I like to see the young guns. I like to see Oklahoma City and Miami, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
We'll find out on Thursday. You guys, see guys, again, take the opportunity to make sure you go to the website, rfsportsfilm.com, or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/rfsportsradio. Thank you guys again, and have a good night. No, I just